Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, this first day of February 2024, right here on Revolution Radio Studio B. I'm very pleased to have my dear friend and colleague Joe Olson, a brilliant engineer, qualified across virtually every area of engineering, to discuss the development of nukes and the nuclear destruction of the World Trade Center on 9/11, which many have not understood, but where we're going to review the Palmer Report about as thorough and detailed an explanation of what actually happened as one could possibly imagine. Before we get there, however, I have recent developments where the shit is about to hit a fan in the Middle East. Let me explain. I begin with a piece by Greg Reese about a potential for war and false flags. Mark my words, he's got it right. I'll explain what's going on.
We do not warn of false flags to try to predict horrible events. We warn of false flags to try and prevent them. They're the norm for starting massive conflicts. They are based on lies, and so we only hope that the truth will make them futile. Last week, I reported on rumors that Victoria Nuland was planning a false flag attack on a Ukrainian nuclear power plant. There is now talk in Kiev that the real president of Ukraine, Victoria Nuland, has become so desperate for NATO troops to enter Ukraine and continue this U.S. proxy war against Russia that she is willing to murder innocent locals with a radioactive cloud and blame it on Russian forces. After that report, documentary filmmaker Chris Emery, who has spent years researching PATCON, the U.S. intelligence operation to use false flags as a way of criminalizing American patriots, reached out to me with some information that shows how this is standard operating procedure for the black hats in our government.
We had done our first movie premiere in March of that year in Salt Lake City with an attorney that we actually interviewed on the film by the name of Jesse Trinidou. He was approached by a command team leader that was in charge of 10, including himself, basically commandos, to blow up the Browns Ferry nuclear power plant in Athens, Alabama, under the Operation PATCON. And then Jesse went into detail about what PATCON was, which would later morph into the Waco attack and then the Oklahoma City bombing. And then our current present day ramification of that was J6. That nuclear power plant is still standing today because this command leader says no, that violated their rules of engagement that they were taught in their special operations ever since he was, you know, a rookie commando. And he said, we are not killing 27 innocent U.S. civilians, no matter how much money you're paying us. Each of his partners, there were 10 commandos altogether, were given duffel bags full of cash. Each were given $5 million. They left it in the parking lot in the wee hours. He said between 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning, they literally left these duffel bags in the parking lot, in the far end of the parking lot, away from the nuclear power plant, and drove away. And they basically told their commanding officer at the Pentagon to F off. We are dealing with people that are of the occult, or in a dark corner of the universe that we can't even imagine. And Newland is in that pack with Merrick Garland and several others, without a doubt. She needs to be brought up on treason and indicted, put on trial, and thrown in prison. And the key tossed away.
We also spoke on the subject of what looks to be the beginning of a false flag being set up on the southern border, with World Economic Forum puppet Greg Abbott now calling for a civil war.
What in the world? Why did it take him almost 2.5 years to gear up? I think it's disingenuous what he's doing. These poor ranchers and the private citizens within 50, 60 miles of the border have gotten their land. Their homes robbed, their ranches decimated. Trash, human waste, windows broken into, property damage. He could have put the thumbscrew on that a long time ago. Why he chose to do so now is beyond me. They're much more keen. They have the operative radar, on high alert now, and they'll be able to hopefully weed out a lot of these operatives that, whether they know it or not, are being paid by the feds to be the fly in the ointment and get a lot more people in trouble. It's just going to be a reincarnation of J6 all over again.
Expert on false flags and the southern border crisis, Michael Yawn, is also warning people not to fall for the trap.
And we already know that the so-called, I call it OGUS, the occupational government of the United States, we already know that it's out of control. We already know that the only rules that it plays by is anything it can get away with, it will do, right? We already know that. We saw January 6th. We see Americans have to show their ID and get searched and whatnot to get on airplanes. Meanwhile, they got illegals, straight up invaders coming across the border by the thousands every day that can board aircraft without any ID. There are no rules. We are clearly being hunted. And the American citizens, patriots are clearly being hunted. They're looking for any excuse to go to war, and they will do it. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a very serious war. It's clearly coming. Don't walk into their traps. Do not do it. Why would you go to Eagle Pass, which is so baited, when Abbott clearly could close the border if he wanted to? This is clearly a wrestling match. This is clearly a show. That's the Thunderdome. Don't go.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Very good report. Now, let me explain how these are tied together. We got a report here from Hal Turner, who's pretty smart about these things. Shit hits the fan for imminent flash. U.S. announces mobilization of all forces in the Middle East. A war with Hezbollah will start soon. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant told the mayor of Haifa, Israel, today, the war with Hezbollah will start soon. And that is why we have sent a large number of army soldiers to this regime to the northern borders. Gallant made clear our patience with Hezbollah is coming to an end. Gallant told troops near the border with a besieged Gaza Strip others were being deployed to Israel's north. They will very soon go into action. So the forces in the north are reinforced. The forces close to you are leaving the field and moving toward the north and preparing for what comes next. The Israeli Ministry of Justice, in an official letter to its employees, in the event of a full-scale war in the north, prepare for the possibility of a nationwide blackout, where at least 60% of the population will be without electricity for at least 24 hours, and there will be disruptions in communication, internet, and telephone. They're openly telling their employees to have emergency food, water, medicine, and how to prepare food from spoiling in freezers. This is a refinement of existing guidelines, not special preparations at the Ministry of Justice, when, of course, it is special preparation. Blows the original notice in Hebrew. Update confirmed. A squadron of F-35 aircraft and all branches of U.S. missile shields with a range extending to Cyprus have been mobilized. The Americans have announced the mobilization of all their forces in the region. Now, I want to step back and explain how this is happening. We have Texas sending Abrams battle tanks to the Mexican border. The Texas National Guard is moving M1A1 Abrams battle tanks, M2A2 Bradley infantry fighting vehicles to the border with Mexico. as they begin to send their troops to assistance at securing the border. This looks like a battle Biden can't win. Here we have another tweet. Forget razor wire. Texas deploys tanks. The Texas Army National Guard is moving M1A1 Abrams battle tanks, M2A2 Bradley fighting vehicles to its border with Mexico. As states begin to send their troops to assist in securing the border, looks like a battle Biden can win. In response to U.S. Army sends tanks to Texas for military exercises. U.S. Army has reportedly moved some of its armored unit to Texas to participate in exercise that will take place this week. Well, here's a video of these tanks, a massive, massive train full of tanks and armored personnel carriers. I want to make several comments about this. It's not at all obvious how tanks would help at the Mexican border. But tanks would help in Lebanon if there's going to be an all-out assault on Lebanon. And I believe that's what's about to take place. They want those tanks. They want a cover story. They want to be able to transport all this military hardware to Texas in order to be transported. Meanwhile, we have a report, Russia to supply weapons to Texas if needed to fight Biden border heist. You'd think this was satire, but I think it's making a point. Russia may supply heavy weapons to Texas to defend itself and its border from any attempt by Biden to forcibly reopen the Texas border to illegal aliens. Russian permanent representative to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, said publicly, "It is important to understand that by supplying weapons to Texas, Russia has not become a party to the conflict." This was a priceless thing for Russia to say, given it's the exact language used by the U.S. and NATO when those entities supply weapons to Ukraine to fight Russia. Recall, too, the entire Ukraine thing started because Ukraine used its federal troops against two oblast states, Luhansk and Donetsk. So parallels between Ukraine, NATO versus Russia, and now Texas, Russia versus U.S. are perfect. In one statement by Russia, the entire Texas Biden border heist changed dramatically. For the record, Hal Turner asserts, "I support Texas." Meanwhile, the Babylon Bee, which uses satire to make point, I think has it exactly right. Get this. Biden cleverly distracts from civil war by starting world war. Washington, D.C. As tensions between the federal government and 25 red states over securing the border continue to stoke fears of another civil war, President Biden cleverly distracted a concerned American public by announcing the start of a new world war. "It's time to bomb Iran," said the president to a bowl of melted ice cream on his nightstand. "Those whippersnappers have been living on borrowed time ever since they chased me and the boys around the pool with switchblades. And if that doesn't do the trick, we'll bomb Russia and China as well." Not a joke. Many critics overheard the conversation, questioned the wisdom of such a move. But some in the Republican Party applaud the president's firm stance. "Did somebody say bomb Iran?" said Senator Lindsey Graham. "Ooh, baby. I usually wait until the third date for that kind of talk. Is it hot in here?" Former National Security Advisor John Bolton also applauded the move. "There's nothing I love more than waking up in the morning to the news we're bombing someone," he said, "over a breakfast of raw fish being tossed directly into his mouth." He then clapped and grunted loudly. Experts predict that a Biden world war with a nuclear Iran might take the public's mind off civil war for at least a couple of weeks. After that, the administration may be forced to activate Taylor Swift. Meanwhile, here's Biden declaring he's decided how to respond to the drone attack that killed three U.S. troops from antiwar.com. President Biden told Reporter Tuesday he's decided on a response to the drone attack that hit a base in northeastern Jordan near the Syrian border and killed three U.S. troops, but didn't specify what it will be, even though the Pentagon has admitted it has no evidence Iran was involved in the attack. Biden said he holds Tehran responsible because it arms a Shia militia the U.S. believed launched the drone. Iran has strongly denied it was involved in the attack or any of the approximately 160 others that have targeted U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria in response to Biden's support for the Israeli slaughter in Gaza. Regardless, the U.S. is considering targeting the Iranian military, which could provoke a major war. It's unclear what Biden has decided to do in response when U.S. officials told Politico option being considered includes attacks on Iranian personnel in Iraq and Syria or striking Iranian naval assets. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said it was very possible the U.S. would carry out a tiered approach, not just a single action, but potentially multiple actions, signaling the U.S. could carry out strikes for multiple days. While considering attacking the Iranian military, U.S. claiming it does not seek escalation. I don't think we need a wider war in the Middle East. That's not what I'm looking for, Biden said. But President Biden has already launched a wider war by bombing the Houthis in Yemen 10 times since January 12th, launching several rounds of airstrikes in Iraq and Syria each time. U.S. says the purpose of the strike is for deterrence, but the situation has continued to escalate. Meanwhile, here's the head of defense, minister of Israel, declaring troops will go into action very soon in Lebanon. This is a report to which I earlier alluded. Efforts by U.S. to head off an Israeli war in southern Lebanon, a conflict U.S. military intel has warned Israel may be unable to handle, may be failing. As Israel Defense Minister Yoav Gallant is telling troops the offensive will start very soon. He made the comments while visiting Israeli troops in the Gaza Strip. The other open-ended military offensive in which Israel has mired itself, Gallant tried to spin the Lebanon offensive as reinforcing the troops in the north. His comments come after Israel's military chief predicted the conflict in Lebanon was very likely in the coming months and after the northern military commander said tens of thousands of troops were ready to mount an offensive. Israel has been launching tit-for-tat strikes with Hezbollah in southern Lebanon for several months, and top Israeli politicians seem to be spoiling for yet another fight, downplaying the U.S. military assessment that two fronts at the same time would stretch Israel dangerously thin. Israel's next war in Lebanon would likely be heavily reliant on airstrikes, although Hezbollah's recent missile attacks on the strategic airbase on Mount Meron may limit their ability to do so in large numbers. Small numbers of drone and warplane airstrikes have hit villages in southern Lebanon since the Mount Meron attacks. Israeli officials are presenting this war as allowing Israeli citizens to return to the northern towns near the border. These towns have been beset by rocket fire. Residents fled north central Israel to stay with relatives, wait out the recent fighting. Military brass say the goal of an offensive in Lebanon would be to free up the area so people could